I was playing, in a sense, the ghost, the spirit of Margot returned and looking at her life. And I think that gives you, you know, a diversion, an elevation of her persona in a way that frees you from feeling that you have to somehow mimic or somehow embody her. It was a puzzle that you put together. And of course, I always believe in the moment of inspiration. So once we started filming and I was in front of a camera, then it was, let's see if the spirit, you know, if the spirit of Margot arrives and guides us. And I think she did. It was important to me to be as true to her as possible. I didn't really have anything but still photos to look at. There's a little bit of footage, as is in the film, and I could see her animated in that sense, but I couldn't hear her voice. I couldn't, you know, look at any interview with her and try to mimic her. So it was really about capturing her spirit. I don't really look like her, so I knew that as best we would try with a brunette wig and so on, that there would be a limitation there. So it really was her soul and her essence that was the important part for me. And I think that you can see that in photographs. And she definitely was someone who was a presence. Even in the more serious photographs, I think they're, you see a presence and a fire and a force to be reckoned with, which, having spoken with the people who worked with her, the few I got to interview personally, that was a common thread. And it was always, I always remember we were saying, now, wait a minute, am I going too far? Is this now, am I stepping into real life? Should I step back and this is a memory? And do we show her having the memory, which I think works lovely in the film, of the student who talks about when she walks in and sits down at the desk, puts her cigarettes down, and the way that's filmed, and she's listening and watching him, and oh, yeah, I did do that, you know. That kind of sets up, we're on a journey of memory. When Richard Thomas was brought up, I was absolutely elated that he would be part of this project. Obviously, I've watched him for many years. I think, met him briefly somewhere socially, but had never worked with him. So it was very exciting, the idea. The only frustration was that we were both in limbo and we couldn't really interact with each other on a regular basis in front of the camera. But we do have that one moment where our dueling typewriter desks, as we call them, where we got to have an exchange. It was delightful to be around him, and such a incredible actor and generous human being. I think we were kindred souls in the way we work, and that always means there's less talking because you trust the work at the moment. The fact that we could do the facing each other first and see each other and experience that, and we had been shooting and having these scenes where we would step into each other's scene and have a comment. So we were getting to watch each other work as well. Meant that by the time we were having to do this breakup scene, yes, there was a little bit of talking and discussion and rehearsal, but it just simply happened and it was very sad. Richard clearly was someone who was, you know, game for, let's get up and just try it, see what happens. I think his Tennessee Williams portrayal is extraordinary. It's scarily Tennessee Williams. And he had the added task of actual interviews that we could watch and make a judgment call, so to speak. So the fact that he is scarily like Tennessee is a tribute to his talent and his ability to mimic, you know, and yet make it a real person, not just mimicry. Well, I distinctly remember, I have to credit Dean Bell with that scene. I think I would have played it, and know that I did, maybe in a first take, much more subdued. I hadn't really found that part of Margot at that point. So I distinctly remember him fueling me to go higher and really pitch it out there. So that was definitely a defining moment in the direction and guiding me to how far out she would go with people and how she could pitch and sell people to support her theater. I think the dictaphone scene is important because it's really the first time we start to see, the less effusive side of Margot, and it gives her another dimension. It tells us a lot about what she felt privately, as opposed to the public Margot. That's what makes her life interesting. I mean, she really was a woman ahead of her time, so to speak, in terms of women's liberation and the freedom to, be married, not be married, have a career, not have a career. The 40s preceded all of that. It was a scene that it helped balance. It really taught me more about her, so that the big scene of the breakdown scene, as I think of it, you could fuel it. That was the combination of all the scenes, given their struggle, even though they stayed in touch with one another, to make that kind of wonderful tribute to her and have her hear it for the first time was very moving. A lot of people in our business know of her and possibly know what she did, but in a way, she is an unsung hero and could be forgotten, except for a theater named after her, but what she actually created and how she has changed our nation in the with theater communities and with cultural expression is massive. And I'm thrilled I get to be the one to tell her story. I feel terribly ineffectual in my own career in comparison.